your mind flow freely. We'll take some time and forget about the time. You may find a little feeling. I can see you shining in the sweat. Like to make you shake and shiver. We could feel the air so wet. We could feel it all tonight. We could feel it all through the night. We could go down to the harbor light. Lay out on the sand on the shore.
It's just shy of 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. But for the next hour, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Time now for Talking Animals, KUCI. This is music from Harold Budd, Brian Eno, with a piece called An Ark of Doves, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. Streaming live on the internet, of course, at KUCI.org. And the whole shebang, enterprise, enchilada, etc., is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you, for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we'd love to get calls. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our website at talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rousing rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for, you know, pretty reasonable balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net, where nearly every show we've ever broadcast is archived. What do you think about that? But clearly the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Justin Rudd, a Long Beach-based dog-minded activist and organizer who founded a few different organizations, actually, one including Hot Dog. Let me quickly point out that's spelled H-A-U-T-E. And was instrumental in getting the city of Long Beach to provide a three-acre off-leash area for dogs right on the beach there in Long Beach. So does a bunch of other stuff as well. I don't even know if we'll be able to get into all the things he does in our time together with Justin. But he also has an email newsletter that's dog-related that reaches some 3,000 subscribers. So we'll find out more about Justin and all those things when Justin Rudd joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, you've got an event, fundraiser, benefit, something coming up animal-related that we should know about, by all means. Observations related to the animal world, peripherally even. And, of course, any news stories you might have come across that we should be aware of and mentioning on the air here at Talking Animals, all that would be most welcome. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. Meaning you might want to call in, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, having said that, that's right, wait for it, let's talk turkey, as it were. And as always, produced by the Talking Animals, award-winning Rip and Read News Department, here we go. Starting off very locally, the Crean family, John Crean, who I think basically launched the Fleetwood RV company many moons ago and many millions ago. So he is always kind of starting new philanthropic adventures or supporting all kinds of programs. And so I just want to read a little portion of a story about his latest effort in that way. Locally here, this is from the LA Times. Last week, some one of those days, while small zoos struggle to garner donations and cities grapple with tighter budgets, the Santa Ana Zoo is expanding thanks to a combination of private and government funds. The $4 million Crean Family Farm, which opens July 17th, later this week, includes a collection of barns holding rare breeds such as Dexter Cow, American Buff Goose, Saxony Ducks, and Narragansett, Turkey. Wow, say that one time fast. A large red barn with a classroom will allow zoo to host more school groups. Officials expect the zoo's annual attendance, which is about 275,000, to climb above 300,000 once the exhibit opens. Quote, across the country, some zoos are struggling, just like social service programs and city infrastructure programs have been, said zoo director Ron Glazier. We are unusual because we've been able to maintain what we have and expand. Santa Ana has owned the zoo since citrus grower Joseph Prentice willed the land to the city half a century ago. Under the terms of the gift, the city maintains 50 primates on the property. It goes on from there, but nearly $1 million of that new exhibit came from the Crean family, owner, as they say here, yes, of the recreational vehicle company Fleetwood Enterprises, and then they raised the others from various sources. So, you know, hats off. I mean, we're of mixed minds here talking animals about zoos, and in fact, as you get more into the animal world, you find out that places like the fabled San Diego Zoo and Wild Animal Park actually have a fairly checkered past and cloudy reputation in the animal world. But I'm going to get into not that necessarily specifically, but in the next few weeks and maybe months, I want to get some zoo experts and former zoo directors, current zoo directors, on the air and talking about that because it can still be done right, and there are some people who are doing it right in terms of habitat and space and stimulation for the animals, and if you're going to have them in a zoo at all, which is its own debate, of course, but among those who, by most accounts, are doing it really, really well, are Dr. Parrott and his colleagues at the Oakland Zoo. So we're hoping to have him on. I know a few people come across recently, a guy named Les Schobert, who ran a zoo in South Carolina for many, many years, and then was at the L.A. Zoo for a brief time, but left primarily because he couldn't really stay with what was happening there. So I'm not looking to get sued right away, so I'm not going to go into much more detail. But anyway, on a semi-related note, got this about our elephant friends. We're very partial elephants here, talking animals, as you may know. So just thought I'd read a little bit of this. April 2003, Peaches, Wanky, and Tatima, three aging African elephants, were shipped amid controversy from the San Diego Wild Animal Park in California to the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago to make space for new young elephants abducted from the wild in Africa. PETA has recently confirmed news of a disturbing development. Tatima, who sustained a crippling leg injury last year, has shown no improvement, and now a second elephant, Wanky, appears to have sustained another crippling leg injury at the Lincoln Park Zoo. First reported in mid-May, Wanky is unable to bend her rear right leg, and she limps when she attempts to walk. Out of concern that the elephants at the Lincoln Park Zoo are not receiving adequate exercise that is both required by the Animal Welfare Act and necessary to ensure their health and well-being, PETA has asked the U.S. Department of Agriculture to launch an investigation. In addition, there appears to be increasing compatibility problems between all three, which may have precipitated the injuries to both elephants and further compromises their already fragile conditions. The fact that Tatima is usually kept indoors, segregated from Peaches and Wanky, indicates social disharmony within the group, and observers have also noted that Tatima appears to be shunned by the other two elephants when they are in the same enclosure. Lincoln Park Zoo has refused PETA requests to disclose medical records, keeper logs, and daily activity reports about the elephants. Please take a moment to write to the USDA to ask that officials investigate the conditions surrounding the injured elephants and reports of increasing social disharmony. And the best person to direct those letters, emails, phone calls, and faxes to are Dr. Elizabeth Goldentire, Regional Director, USDA, and probably the easiest thing would be her email address, which is ast@aphis.usda.gov. That's ast@aphis.usda.gov. And there's also a phone number here in case you want to go that route, 919-855-7100. That's Dr. Elizabeth Goldentire, Regional Director of the USDA. And on a very related note, I mean, people keep moving elephants, splitting them up from semi-happy environments, if that can be achieved in a zoo setting. But especially if they've got any kind of a social structure, I mean, people who are in the animal world, you'd think would know that Elephants in particular need a lot of space. They need a lot of other elephants around. And once they form some sort of social group, it's not really great to bust them up. Which, of course, brings us to the ongoing saga of Ruby. Touched on this briefly last week when we had our cool, semi-chaotic adventure with Tanya Petrovna here, the great chef from Native Foods, cooking and talking about veggie food. And since she's a big supporter of the Elephant Sanctuary, this kind of came up. But I just want to briefly hit this again because the situation, just to recap, several months ago, Ruby, who had been at the LA Zoo for many, many years, and in fact, had a great, sort of very close bond with another elephant there named Gita, was sent off to the Knoxville Zoo and is not integrated at all into the elephant community there, if you will. And so now, maybe because there's a ticking clock, the Knoxville Zoo has brought in an elephant trainer, Alan Rucroft, who, among other things, more than 10 years ago was... sort of got the recognition that I guess he and the San Diego Wild Animal Park would hate to have for using harsh discipline on an African elephant named Dunda. And keepers conceded at that time that he chained Dunda by all four legs, pulled her to the ground, struck her head with axe handles, and that the beating went on for an extended period of time. And in fact, in his book, Managing Elephants, he's... believes, obviously, in that kind of behavior. There's a quote here in this thing I'm reading. When corporal punishment is administered to an elephant, it has to be fairly forceful. Some might need to strike the elephants a solid blow with a fairly heavy implement. The handling of a problem elephants requires a well-drilled team, crew of at least 8, preferably 10, in order to ensure sufficient, and then I guess compliance, maybe the actual word isn't there. But anyway, so... it's just going from bad to worse. And the point is, the Elephant Sanctuary, now, I mean, this Ruby now is in Knoxville. The Elephant Sanctuary is in Tennessee. They're willing to take her. It's an amazing facility for elephants. And so, again, if you're in the mood to send a note, an email, something, there's a few different places you could direct those about Ruby. Because we got to, and by the way, for more information, just generally, the website for all things Ruby related is www.saveruby.org, and I really urge you to go there generally. But also in the meantime, if you might want to send a little email to the director of the Knoxville Zoo is Jim, I guess it's Blina, it's VLNA, and so his email is jvlna@knoxville-zoo.org. And to come at the from the other angle, the director of the Los Angeles Zoo is John Lewis. So his email is jlewis@zoo.lacity.org. So send them both one and just say that, look, you know, it's not working with Ruby. You've pulled her away from Gita. Obviously, I think the hope of them being reunited is come and gone, sadly. But at least let's get her off into the elephant sanctuary where she can be happy. She can have space. She can, again, hopefully reintegrate with some other nice elephants there and have a fairly decent life. All right? All right. What else here? Oh, this one I was actually going to get into with when Tanya was here last week, but I just hit a little bit of it because I just thought it was pretty interesting just generally, but especially when we had a hotshot vegan chef in the studio. It's from the LA Times last weekend, I believe. And it starts off, Cherry Zia wants to start a revolution in China. The vegetarian restaurant owner frets over this culture's obsessive appetite for animals, including wild and even endangered creatures. The former lawyer winces at the scorpion, stinger still on, silkworms and sparrow chicks on a stick, served up as snacks at street stalls and the snakehead soup peacocks and badgers offered in restaurants. Then are the more tame, but to her still distasteful dishes from dog and pigeon to pork lungs and solidified duck blood. Zia wants to see her country eat less meat and animal organs and concentrate on a more healthy vegetarian diet. China, she says, needs to enter the 21st century when it comes to food. Zia isn't the only one alarmed by the nation's dietary habits. International experts and many Chinese are concerned after a rash of food safety scares such as SARS and phony milk powder, markets selling chemical-tainted bean sprouts, and restaurants that spike their dishes with opium poppies to keep customers coming back. The SARS outbreak of the last two winters drew international attention to China's wild animal trade, but the epidemiologists saying the respiratory disease may have come from civet cats, a species commonly eaten in southern China. Actually, we have a call here. Let's see if they're calling about this. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI and Talking Animals. Hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I was trying to get a hold of somebody in the office.
Oh, okay, you're actually on live now on Talking Animals on KUCI, so if you could call back on the business line, that'd probably be your best bet.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. All right, well, you never know. Anyway, so the story just goes on to detail, you know, her efforts and others like her, and of course, what she's up against. And I'm sure you could want to find out more about that. Find that online on the LA Times website in their archives. And, geez. All right, well, we're maybe later on going to have time to come back. I have many more news items that I was hoping to get to. But we do want to get into the comedy corner. And then to our guest, Justin Rudd. So, if there are ever any news stories or announcements, events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, excessively, some might say, but what the heck, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site at www.talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net. And sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows just about that we've done. We're pretty well caught up, in fact. It's really cool. And there's also photographs and articles. We're going to get up some more photos shortly of ARC 2000, the amazing sanctuary up in Northern California, the 100-acre spread, and there's some nice elephants there. And as of a couple of weeks ago, at least the first batch of tigers that have relocated from Tiger Rescue down here in Colton. So we'll have some shots of that up soon. But we also have links and audio pieces and more. So just stop by when you can. Take a look around. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is George Carlin with a snippet of a piece called I Love My Dog on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
You were probably out walking your dog, which is what I'm usually doing. Walking my dog. Because I love my dog. I love all my dogs. I love every dog I ever had. I remember them all. And I love every one of them. Still love all my dogs. And I've had me a lot of goddamn dogs. In my lifetime, I have had me a bunch of different dogs. Because you do keep getting a new dog, don't you? You just keep getting one dog right after another. That's the whole secret of life. Life is a series of dogs. It's true, you just keep getting a new dog, don't you? That's what's good about them, they don't live too long. And you can go get a new goddamn dog. Sometimes you can get a dog looks exactly like the dog you used to have. Right? You shop around a little bit, you can find a dog identical to your former dog. And that's real handy because you don't have to change the pictures on your mirror or anything. Right? You just bring the dead one into the pet shop. Throw him up on the counter, say, give me another one of them. That was real good. And they'll give you a carbon copy of your ex-goddamn dog. Now, my favorite dog that I ever had in my whole lifetime was Tippy. Tippy was a good dog. Some of you remember I've talked about Tippy. Tippy was a good dog. Tippy was a mixed terrier. You know that word mixed? That the veterinarian puts on the form when even he don't know what the
bleep you got. Yeah.
You bring in a little mixed puppy to a veterinarian and say, what is it? You say, well, it's definitely not a monkey. Tippy was actually part Dodge Dart.
All right, that's George Carlin with a piece of a larger, longer bit called I Love My Dog, taken from his CD entitled Parental Advisory, Explicit Lyrics. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at www.kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way as we speak. And some of you perhaps arrive there through through our swell website, talkinganimals.net. So good for you. Good for you. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. And while we get today's guest, Justin Rudd, on the phone with us, this is as good a time to hear an animal tune. And with a little nod to Justin, it's very dog-oriented. This is from an outfit called Skip's Animal Company with a tune called Please Let Me Know. I'm Talking Animals here on KUCI.
Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Are you going to the kitchen to get yourself a snack? Remember me. Could you bring a little back? Are you going to the study to see that box so bright? Just call on me and you can see a good friend to invite. Hey, please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Are you going to the bedroom to get yourself some rest? Remember me for company, your good friend, I'm the best. Are you going to the door now to take a little walk? Are you going to the phone, getting ready just to talk? Hey, please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Are you going to the store now to buy some groceries? You know I love the car, so could you take me with you, please? Are you going to the basement to climb down the stairs? Don't forget your faithful dog, I'm with you anywhere. Hey, please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. On your feet, please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please, please let me know where it is you will go. I just laid me down to sleep. You got up on your feet. Please let me know. Please let me know.
That's Skip's Animal Company with Please Let Me Know here on KUCI from a CD that's actually subtitled Songs to Make Dogs Happy and created with the guidance of an animal communicator, no less. So my guess is it's probably effective. So anyway, early in the show I mentioned that this week's guest is Justin Rudd, a Long Beach-based dog-minded animal activist and organizer, but a man of many activities, many organizations, many talents, and as I alluded to earlier, that we're just hitting the tip of the Justin Rudd iceberg here, depending on how much time we have. But there's so much to discuss with him. Let's just jump right in. Justin, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Duncan, for having me on.
Absolutely. Welcome to Talking Animals. And again, it seems like you were presiding over so many animal organizations, events, and pursuits. And I want to delve into learning what we can about at least some of them, as many as time permits. But first, just so we can kind of place that in some context, I thought it'd be useful to touch on your history and background a bit. So maybe we could start with where did you grow up, and were animals kind of always an important part of your life?
Absolutely. I grew up in South Alabama in a small town called Ozark, 13,000 people, and we grew up in the country. I have a twin brother and three sisters. We lived out in we're probably 10 minutes from town, and we always had animals, dogs growing up. There were always outdoor dog, so we never even thought about bringing a dog inside. I don't.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And then now I have a bulldog, Rosie, here. I live in Long Beach, and she's definitely an indoor dog. So, yeah.
So, and did you always kind of feel like a sort of a kinship or a heightened sensitivity to animals? Because it sounds like, I mean, certainly now that's a very huge, huge part of your life. But, I mean, back in those days in Ozark, was that still the case? Or was there any kind of, you know, moment or incident that kind of put you on the path of being an animal advocate?
You know, you bet. Absolutely. When I was growing up, my neighbors and I, the neighbor kids, we'd always get together and we'd say, hey, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I always wanted to be the veterinarian. Mm. I was always going to be the one to deal with animals. And absolutely, that's what I'm doing here today. I grew up with horses, riding horses since I was a young boy.
Oh, wow.
We had chickens. We had lots of cats, guinea pigs, fish, parakeets. We
wow.
had all kinds of animals. Yeah.
Interesting. So one of the things then, especially given that I find interesting about kind of what you're doing now is it seems like, generally speaking, there's a pretty specific dog focus. And is that maybe just because there's only so much time in a day and so many things that can be done and you just want to focus your attention in the canine world? Or
right. Most of my attention today is toward the dog movement
mm-hmm.
and helping dogs get adopted through shelters and rescue organizations and planning events with dogs. We do dog parades, and I just helped to open a dog beach, an off-leash beach here in Long Beach.
Yeah, I really want to get into that, for
sure.
So
it is focused on dogs. At Christmas time, I do a program called Operation Santa Paws, and we collect toys and treats for shelter dogs, cats, and rabbits. So there it branches out a little bit, but mostly my focus is on dogs.
Sure. Well, I was going to get into the dog zone a bit later, but I think since you brought it up, let's dive into that, because I just think that's so fascinating. Maybe you could tell our listeners exactly what that is, and
sure.
Then I have certainly some questions about how you pulled it off. So
in Long Beach, there's a 3-acre area in the Belmont Shore area. It's a 3-acre off-leash area where dogs are allowed to run free and play on the sand all day long, every day. It opens at 6 a.m. until 8 p.m. Every day of the week, 7 days a week. And dogs just have to have a collar on at all times, and they need to be licensed and registered in the city from which they're coming from. They just need to have vaccinations up to date and just go and have a good time. They just need to be sure to clean up after each other. It's one after the dog, and then it's one dog per adult.
Right, so you can't bring a big squadron of dogs down
exactly.
to the beach. Yeah, but so how, I mean, so if I'm not mistaken, Justin, that's been the better part of a year. Wasn't it like August last year
August 1st will be 1 year since our pilot program began. The city council just extended our pilot program for 3 more months, so it'll go until November the 1st. And at that point, the city council will renegotiate and see if how well the dog zone is going and see if we can extend the life of it indefinitely.
And what do you think is going to, I mean, so far, how do you think the evaluations are going and what do you think the likelihood that it is going to be extended?
I'm 100% confident that it's going to be extended. I think that it's very popular. I was just out there yesterday. There are about 35 dogs at one time playing in the 3-acre area, which is pretty large. I think it's 275 yards across at the ocean.
Yeah.
And then on 4th of July weekend, I think it was 40 to 50 dogs at a time. So it's getting a lot of use. People are coming to the beach that in other times would have never been to the beach. I know folks that live here 3 or 4 blocks from the water who in 20 years never went and visited the beach, but now they're coming because they can take their dog and get some exercise. And people are meeting each other. They're talking, getting to know each other. It's just building a great sense of community here in Long Beach.
Well, also, too, for some of our listeners, that especially if they're listening on the Internet, could be, various places. I mean, it's important to point out that, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only off-leash dog beach in L.A. County at the moment, is it not, Justin? Or
that's exactly right. L.A.
Yeah.
County, I believe, has 11 million people and no telling how many dogs.
Yeah.
And dogs need places to be off-leash to run and play and exercise. And this is the only legal area in Los Angeles County where dogs can be at the beach. beach and be off leash.
So for people who are now taking in the enormity of that, how did this come about? I mean, what efforts were necessary to persuade the city of Long Beach to earmark that nice a chunk? Because I mean, it's, you know, like you say, it's 3 acres. It's 235 yards along the water and 60 yards deep. I mean, that's a big parcel for them to say, you know what, you talked us into it. How did you talk them into it?
You know, when I moved to Long Beach, I think 7 or 8 years ago, I noticed how our beaches are not being utilized with people. We have a breakwall out. It's 1 mile offshore because Long Beach used to be a Navy port. So it keeps wave action very low. So we don't have as many visitors to our shores as other Southern California beach cities. So it works out good for us. So what I did is I found in the Long Beach City Code where you can have a special event on the beach with dogs. You just have to apply for the permit. So I met with the police department, the fire department, the lifeguards, the special events department, Parks Recreation Department, and also with the California Coastal Commission, and got granted approval for a one-time event where we were going to have 4 hours where dogs would be off leash. We set up a chain link fence, and we had about 500 dogs that day. It was on a Sunday afternoon. This was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And then I started applying for this same permit on a monthly basis, and I did that for, I think, 2 years, and we did 20 events on Sunday afternoons on various Sundays of the month. And had tremendous success, 400 to 500 dogs in a 3 or 4 hour period. That's a lot of animals and a lot of people enjoying it.
Right.
And then I started compiling an email database and now today I've got about 3,200 email addresses on there. I have a dog newsletter. It's free if anybody wants to.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. Yeah, but I mean, basically, it's free to subscribe. You just go to justinrudd.com or send an email to justinrudd@aol.com.
Justinrudd@aol.com.
Right.
So I got all of those email subscribers to write letters to our city council people. I included the email addresses to the city council people, and we got thousands of requests. And so it just became a snowball, and people were wanting it, and I just was trying to be the driving force behind it, and it worked out. We finally got approval. It had been 30 years since dogs were allowed legally on the beach in Long Beach.
Oh, my goodness.
And, 30 years. So, and now it's going strong, and it's sunny out there. Dogs are enjoying it. People are enjoying it, and the city's happy about it.
Well, that's great, but it does sound like a lot of effort on your part. And are there like two or three pieces of advice you'd give to others who, may want to attempt something, even if it's smaller in scale in their area? I mean, what are the first couple of things that people should really keep in mind if they want to sort of, get some, whether it's beachfront or not, an area for dogs that isn't currently available for that?
Exactly. I think the first thing is to find a perfect location for it. Find where it's not going to impact, where it's going to least impact the public.
Mm-hmm.
An area where it's going to be away from where a lot of people are going to be. And then get the media on your side.
Yeah.
Call the local newspaper and find out what their stance would be. Would they support something like this? Because here in Long Beach, the newspapers wrote stories, and they were favorable.
Sure.
And that really helped us. And then find out on your city council and your mayor or the decision makers, find out who has a dog.
Right, who's animal friendly, basically.
And play
to
those people.
Yeah, sure.
You bet.
Cool.
Let them know, hey, we want you to come out with your dog and recreate on the beach. Come join us. We want to do this. Will you support us in this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
cool.
And we ended up with very little costs to the city. If it begins to be a costly thing, then the city government traditionally won't go for it.
Right.
But it's very little cost. And I said earlier we used a chain link fence. That was only for our first special event. And now it's not marked off by fencing at all.
It's cones, right? Or like safety cones or something?
We have some safety cones out there. And we have volunteers. We have a volunteer program called the Dog Zone Ambassadors, and they help us with all of those things, yeah.
And which, again, helps keep the cost down. So why wouldn't the city say, hey, well, geez, it's not really costing us much. People are happy. The media is favorable. What's not to like?
That's right.
So I want to remind our listeners that this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. And we're speaking with Justin Rudd, dog-minded activist and organizer extraordinaire. And you can join the conversation. If you have any questions for Justin, and we'll get into some of the other things he's doing shortly. But you can call us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So let's talk about hot dog a little bit, Justin.
Okay.
What is it? And, I mean, for our listeners who may not know, and what all do you do? Because it seems like that's sort of got a lot of elements to it, and I guess kind of overlapping how the dog zone got happening, right?
Right, exactly. Hot Dogs is just, it's a grassroots organization that I started when I moved to Long Beach, and I think I started this program like 4 or 5 years ago, and I just thought the play on words, hot dogs, and hot is the French word haute, H-A-U-T-E, but being from South Alabama, I say hot.
Sure.
And I just thought it was kind of funny. It's H-A-U-T-E, hot dogs.
Right.
And the word is a French term, and it means fancy or well-to-do. And we're not really fancy or well-to-do by any means. We just like to go out and have a good time.
Sure.
But I started a bunch of programs that I wished that other people had started, and I didn't want to wait around for them anymore. So I started some dog parades. We have a hot dog Easter parade and a hot dog Halloween parade. We have about 400 dogs that dress up in costumes. And we parade down the sidewalks of 2nd Street here in Belmont Shore. And we raise money for local charities.
Cool. And wasn't the Easter one at least, didn't you go on the Tonight Show with Leno to
yes,
kind of call attention to that?
Or a year ago, we were invited to be on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and I took my bulldog Rosie, and we had, I think there were 9 of us that took our dogs on, and we did a mini a preview of what was going to be happening on Easter Sunday.
So were all 9 dogs dressed up in their Easter finest then? Or,
you bet. Dog Rosie, she's an English bulldog, she wears a pink tutu, like for a little girl's dancer's tutu, and I made a pearl necklace out of ping pong balls, and I strung them with elastic, and I spray painted them pink.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is Rosie cool with that? Because some dogs, and cats, for that matter, you know, give you like a really dirty look the minute you start trying to put any kind of clothing on them, but
you know,
some
that's
are
a
more
good
amenable.
Question. And yeah. I think for the 30 minutes that we're out there doing it, she's okay with it. And
okay.
You know, I hope that she is, because the more important thing is that we are raising money for charities.
For sure.
We raise thousands of dollars in a matter of 1 hour.
Wow.
So for, you know, I don't dress her up every day, but just for 30 minutes twice a year, I think it works really well for us.
Sure, she's like a spokes dog. So
exactly.
Right, yeah.
And she puts smiles on people's faces. You know, here in my apartment, Rosie, you know, all day long, she keeps me in stitches and keeps me smiling, but when I take her out onto the street, and especially when we dress her up, she can really put a smile on someone's face. Yesterday we were on 2nd Street. I was with her, and there was a blind woman that was petting her, and I was trying to explain about what kind of dog Rosie is to her, and that was pretty interesting. She said, "Oh, she's moving," and it was really cool.
Wow! Yeah. And what are some of the other it seems like there's just so many events or outreach, educational things that are all part of your organization. What are some other things that you know, accomplishments or events that you're kind of really most proud of that you guys have done?
On our website, hotdogs.org, mm-hmm. it outlines all of them, but another one that I'm really proud of is our Interfaith Blessing of the Animals that we have, and that's held usually in October. I don't remember the exact day. I think it's October 2nd. It's a Saturday this year.
Okay.
But it's on our website. But what it is an interfaith blessing as opposed to a traditional blessing of the animals, which is typically held in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
But we would have representatives from Protestant religions, from Buddhists, from the Catholics, and we have about 7 different religions represented there.
Wow.
And we have about 250 animals that are represented. We have rabbits and mice and rats and birds,
wow.
A lot of dogs, cats there at the event, and they get blessed, and that's a fun time. We do an event called Operation Santa Paws, and that's usually held the first few weeks of December,
mm-hmm.
and we collect the toys and treats for the shelter dogs, cats, and rabbits, and we distribute those toys and treats to about 4,000 shelters and rescue organizations here in the Los Angeles and Orange County areas.
Is Rosie weighing in there with some additional information? Is that over here in the background?
Yeah. She likes that idea a lot.
Yeah, that's obviously one of her faves. She's a very vocal supporter of that one. But
another thing that we do on our website, we have what's called Rosie's Pick of the Litter, and it's a weekly, we focus on one dog a week, and we put up the photo of it, of the dog, and we tell a little bit about it and a little bit about the breed. And if it's not a breed that's really recognizable. If it's like a mixed breed, then we'll put information about perhaps a shelter, or maybe the dog came from a shelter, and we'll kind of highlight it that way.
Cool. Yeah. And I should remind our listeners that, again, there's a bunch of different websites that you kind of, you know, are all hooked into, but the probably the simplest way to get there is www.justinrudd, JustinRudd.com, and then that can peel you off depending on what you're interested in. But and also, Justin, like, how prominent a role does, you know, this thing about Rosie's Pick, how prominent a role does rescue play in what you guys do?
You know, it's tremendous. On our website, we have a whole page that's dedicated to pet adoption, and specifically with dogs. It's very important. You know, so many dogs are put down every day in the Los Angeles, Orange County area, all over the country, all over the world, actually. And we need to do our part to help educate folks that there are other places to find pets from a shelter or from a rescue organization, and there are great dogs out there.
Yeah.
I think it's very important for me and a great part of what I do.
Sure. And I guess kind of on a very related note, because there's just so many ways that you're able to get information to people, or people are able to get to you to get information. So we touched on it earlier, but let's talk a little bit more about the Doggy Newsletter, because that,
sure.
I mean, that is a lot of folks that are getting that. I mean, how did you build it to that number?
You know, every person that's come to any of the Easter parade, or to the dog Halloween parade, or to the dog beach special events when we had hot dogs on the beach events, or when we do Operation Santa Paws, folks, when they email me and they say I'm interested in Operation Santa Paws, or I'm interested in the hot dog poetry contest, or I'm interested in the hot dog triathlon that you do every summer, then I'll ask them, do you want to be on my email database? And it's called the Dog E-News, and it's just E-N-E-W-S, Dog E-News. It's Justin Rudd's Dog E-News, and I send that out once a week. It's it usually comes out on Wednesdays or Thursdays, and it is right now about 3,200 local dog lovers.
Yeah, and that's it's just fantastic, and I've got, like, probably the most recent one in front of me, and there's gosh, I would hate to, maybe 30-some-odd items of all different kinds of things, you know, whether it's an event or a medical, you know, if you're seeking some information, hot tips for dogs with cancer or arthritis is one. I mean, really, it's covers so much ground. And how do people submit items?
They just simply email me, justinrudd@aol.com.
Okay.
And I keep each paragraph in the, it is all text only in the newsletter.
Right.
So I keep each paragraph under 100, I try to keep it under 100 words.
Sure.
So that it's easy to read about. I try to include web addresses that they can go to find more information about each item in the newsletter.
Right.
I try to make it educational. I try to give some entertainment.
Sure.
Various events that are happening in Southern California, I list those on there as well. And I'd be happy to list those for nonprofit organizations or shelters and rescues as things come up.
Yeah.
I try to dedicate space in there to talk about animals that are waiting to be adopted in shelters and rescues.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about breed-specific. I talk about health issues.
Yeah, it's
all
really
that
comprehensive, and the fact that there's a new one each week is just astonishing. Do you, do you sift through the submissions, or pretty much everything within reason that comes to you gets into at least one of the forthcoming newsletters? Or,
you know, I do my best to get everybody some space in there. I think everyone deserves their voice and their opinion to be heard.
Sure,
and I try my best to do that.
Yeah, that's cool. And so then I guess another organization among many that you have a hand in or have founded is Community Action Team. And of course, ironically, for the dog emphasis, I guess that's the acronym is CAT for that. But is that now does that dovetail with the other organizations, or how does that differ from what you filled us in about hot dogs?
Thanks for asking. The Community Action Team, or CAT, it's ironic because most of my events deal with dogs, but CAT is a 501c3 nonprofit that I started 2 years ago, and it's an umbrella organization for a lot of other events that I also do. Hot dogs happens to be part of the Community Action Team. It is our umbrella organization that allows us to accept donations And anytime when you're going to get sponsors for various events, it sure helps if you're a nonprofit organization.
Sure, sure. I wasn't sure where the structure was, but so CAT is the overall thing under which hot dogs and some of these other things
That's
fall.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of the other things that I do on a monthly basis, we do beach cleanups called the 30-minute beach cleanup. Happens to be this Saturday if anybody wants to help out.
Sure.
And is that HIV support group? We do the Southern California Spelling Bee Championship for elementary school kids. We do the July 4th Kids Bike Parade. I do a series of 5K, 10K races here in Southern California. They're in Long Beach. And the next one is going to be the 5K, 10K Grunion Run on, I think it's August the 21st. And then we do a kids Halloween costume contest. We have prize money in the fall. We do a patriotic essay contest in the summertime as well.
Wow. Well, Justin, we're just about nearing the end of our time. I'm just going to give our phone number one last time in case people have a quick question before we have to sort of unfortunately wrap things up. But it's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. But, yeah, you're obviously one busy guy, and I take it that, you know, someone that does this and this many things has been organizing events for a long, long time, I'm guessing, right? I mean, this is just probably part of your nature for years and years.
I think so. I think I get it from my mom. She's always been an organizer and a party planner growing up as a kid. And then in college, in high school, I was very active in organizing and planning and leadership positions. I think I carry that on.
Sure.
After that.
Cool. And you made reference to, and I have to ask, what is the hot dog poetry contest? Is that then poetry about dogs?
You bet. Cool. We do that in the springtime. And we invite people to come and to read their submissions at an event.
Okay.
And then we have judges, and it's done in conjunction with the Long Beach Poetry Festival. And our individual event just deals mainly with dogs as the topic.
Wow, that's cool.
And their original poetry. And then if people want to read dog poems that they have gotten from somewhere else, they can also do that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Justin, we have, I think, reached the end of our time here in Talking Animals, but I just want to remind our listeners that it's Justin Rudd, one of the, I guess, 17 websites that are all hooked into you and your various activities and organizations. But the simplest way to get there is Justin Rudd, JustinRudd.com. And, you know, that's where you can find out more about just about all the stuff. And you can either through there or through JustinRudd@AOL.com sign up for the newsletter, which is really, really cool. It's amazing. There's just that much stuff. But I guess maybe by virtue of the size of the subscribers, you're getting a huge number of people submitting items, because I'm just impressed each week.
Yeah.
There's just so much great stuff and it covers so much ground, you know. So that's cool. All right, Justin. Well, thanks again for joining us today on Talking Animals, and good luck on all your endeavors. And hopefully we'll have you on again sometime down the road when you're maybe we'll get into, you know, the Santa Paws thing, or who knows, some sort of a holiday oriented thing. But keep up the great work for all your dog friends, including Rosie there.
Thank
who was
you.
Nice enough to help us out with the interview as well.
And you keep up your good work, and I love your website. Way
cool.
to go.
Oh, thanks, man. That's very nice. All right, Justin Rudd, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye now. All right, that was, again, Justin Rudd. Really, it's you spend even a moment or two on justinrudd.com and, you know, just kind of skip around. There's just so many. And we didn't even get into a lot of other sort of non-animal-related things. I mean, he touched on a couple, but, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that he's involved with, and websites and events and stuff. So it's really cool. I mean, I don't know if and when the guy ever sleeps, frankly, but he's doing a lot of great work for animals, and just that dog zone, the dog beach thing, I thought was really amazing to pull that off. But anyway, so I am Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. It's time now to proceed to name that animal tune. Again, this is pretty much like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune, and there'll be a prize. Did he say prize? That's right, sir. I did say prize. And ma'am, I did say prize, too, to you as well. And that could range anywhere from CDs of various kinds, including people who've been on the show, and Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull and others. The latest one we have is from PETA, which is called Liberation, Songs to Benefit PETA, and that's people like Goldfinger and Good Charlotte and The Used and the Anti-Flag, Desperacitos, and others. We've got books aplenty, including one from Shirley MacLaine that we have especially because it was co-written by her dog. And we've got T-shirts, including my latest favorite T-shirt is from that I got at the Paws thing recently, and it says, elephants don't belong in circuses. So it's a very cool-looking shirt, nice drawing an elephant. But we got plenty of other T-shirts and cat toys, dog collars, I mean, on and on and on. So anyways, having said that, I will play a little snippet of a tune, and as soon as you recognize this animal tune, then you'll phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and the first person to correctly identify this animal tune will get their choice of all those fabulous prizes. All right, so let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune and Talking Animals here, KUCI.
Crossing the highway late last night, he should have looked left and he should have looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car, the skunk.
Hi, you're live on KUCI. Can you name that animal tune?
Yes, I think I can. Is that a skunk? Is that like dead skunk?
That is indeed dead skunk.
Okay,
wow, cool. Now, who's this?
This is Betty from Anaheim.
Betty from Anaheim. Oh, cool. Well, we're just about at the end of our time here, and I don't want to run into Jeff's time. So I'll tell you what, if you could email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com with how we can get in touch with you, and we can, if you already know you're the prize that you'd like, you can mention it. Otherwise, we'll exchange a few emails and get you all set up for your prize for winning Name That Animal Tune.
Okay, I'll do that. Great show. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling, Betty. All right, indeed, that was Dead Skunk. And Loudon Wainwright III, no less, if you want any extra info. So, anyway, very cool. All right, we haven't had a winner in a while, so that's kind of nice. I'm Duncan Strauss. We've just about reached the very end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Want to thank again our guest, Justin Rudd, man of many talents, many organizations, many activities, and obviously just a lot of cool stuff going on at any given moment. But so I'll recommend you check out his website or the primary website, justinrudd.com. Again, JustinRudd.com. I also want to thank you all for listening. Hope to join us next week on Talking Animals when our guest will be, and as yet unbooked, but no doubt fascinating person from the animal world. So we hope you'll join us for that on Talking Animals next week, Monday, July 19th. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan, followed at 5:30 by Counterspin. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning, then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m., so when you have a chance, please check that out. And again, I want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net, and when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. I also encourage you to email me with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great, great blues show here in KUCI. I don't know anybody who doesn't love that show. Listening locally, listening online, everywhere. It's a really, really cool show. Jeff Scott with the Blues Disease coming up momentarily. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune from the brand new Wilco album. This is a song called Hummingbird. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
Southwest to forget her. She appears in his dreams, but in his car and in his arms, a dream could mean anything. A cheap sunset on a television set. sucker, but he never could. Remember to remember me, standing still in your past, floating fast like a homing bird. His goal in life was to be an echo, tap the sound that floats around and then back down like a feather. But in the deep chrome canyons of the loudest night mountains, no one could hear him or anything. So he slept on a mountain.